Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology.
Ooh, what do you think of that?
What do you think of that? We got a new intro. It only took me like 6 months, guys. I started talking about how I was going to make a new one like 6 months ago, but we got it done. And that's what matters, right? Oh, we got music. It's still playing. See how that... It's like a real show, guys. Like, we can have music go from one scene to another. Wow. What a world we live in. Well, we've got some stuff to talk about today, guys. We got, you know, I used to call this guy my spirit animal because I just felt like he encaptured so much of like my personality. I've never met the guy, but Mark Dever, he's like, maybe like a lion. Like the lion of Baptist theology. That's Mark Dever. He writes basically exclusively on Baptist theology. Like, that's the whole thing there at Nine Marks. And we're going to be talking about a little bit of a kerfuffle he got in because he kind of lost it. And we'll be taking a look at, actually, a poll that I took on Twitter to see how people thought about it. We'll take a look at that. I need to add that into the stream, just realizing. But hey, hop into the chat. Yeah, I said it, Heidi. I said it. I don't care. I'll say it all I want. It's my thing. I'm gonna make it my thing now. We're gonna hop into the chat, guys. And we're gonna see what you guys are thinking. I would really want to just hang out with you guys today. We do have stuff to talk about. Oh my goodness. I got something for you guys. If you thought the intro was like, oh, okay. He had a new intro. That's cool, I guess. But didn't he say like he had stuff for us? Like what is he talking about? And all he's going to talk about is Mark Dever. It's interesting, by the way. But so all the Pado Baptists, Jeremy, if you're watching, if your internet is fixed, like poor guy, pray for Jeremy Collins. He doesn't have any internet right now. It's kind of a necessity these days. All the Pado Baptists are probably going to get mad at me today. Because I'm going full Baptist. We're gonna talk about some stuff. So it's going to be fun. But some of you guys might be like, what are you talking about? Like, I thought you had something real good for us. Where's the good stuff, Dean? You just wait. I made something that might turn into a new segment. I don't know. I had way too much fun yesterday, okay? I had this plan of doing it one way, and then it... There's about 4 minutes of what I think of as just pure gold that I'm going to give you guys. Just give it to you. The good people of the internet. I'm just going to gift it and say, here you go. Here's some gold. It's going to be fantastic. All right. Let's see what everyone is saying as they hopped into the chat. You heard me.
Big yikes.
Wendy says, hey, underdogs. Went for a walk today. Squirrel hopped from a bench to a tree, immediately thought of Dean and Heidi. that's awesome. All right. Slightly Reformed says he's back. Only 5-ish more days before I can change my name back. Cool. All right. I'm going to try today to not have you be in timeout. It's hard though. Every time I see it, I just want to be like, nope, not gonna talk to him. But you know, you come and you watch. So I'll give you a shot today. None of this uncle bidness, though. I'm just saying, like, you guys, come on. Let's see. Caleb is here. It says, I've been out of the loop here. If you are thinking in the direction of, oh, merch, it would fit well. Yep, I still don't have merch. It takes some money to get things off the ground with merch. So like it's I'm looking into options. I'm still looking into options. I don't know. I have designs done. I don't know if it'll ever come into being. There is a link. Hey, you know, we'll talk about it later, but you know, if you want to support the channel, you know, you want some merch to happen. There are ways to get that done. There's a link down in the comment section, not in the comment section, in the description. okay, we're going to skip that one, Slightly Reformed. I'm going to ban you. I'm going to ban you. Heidi's making fun of me. That's all right. I deserve it. Wendy says, hey, dogs. You're the dog now. And you know, I need to get that sound effect. If anyone knows what that's from, let me know. All right, fine. Hey, Dean, I'm thinking of doing a ripoff of the X-Men. Does the Chromosome Boy sound cool to you? No. Just a flat no. You know what?
I steadfastly refuse.
All right. So some people saying that they like the new intro. Appreciate it. Go ahead and make my day. You say it and I'll comment with all the bunnies. Okay. This is going to be a new thing. No more olives. Did you guys catch it? Did you guys catch it in the intro of the olive thing? Did you catch the olives? Kind of looks like grapes. My wife was like, why is there a bunch of grapes there? I'm like, it's not. It's for the OGs. It's for the OGs. Wendy says, Heidi, it was a riot and I'm serious. All right. Pam says, fundraise for merch development. Yeah, I'm just saying it's, you know, gotta buy all the stuff so I could show you guys what it looks like and make sure it's actually good. And then, you know, then I could send out links and stuff, but it's a lot. It's stuff I don't have. All right. And Tax Collector says, love the new intro. I appreciate it. Okay. Okay. Here we go. All right. So, Mark Dever, I don't know why this video is going around now, but Mark Dever is making the rounds on the Twitters. Are you guys on Threads? Hit me up if you're on Threads. I'm on Threads. I don't know what it is yet, but if you want to hang out with me, I'll definitely be able to see that. You know, I see most things that come my way, but I'm just saying there's not a lot of people. I think there's like 140 people right now on Threads with me, but, anyways, on the Twitter sphere, on Elon Musk's like personal machine, Mark Dever is going around. He's like, this video is going everywhere. I've seen it from Baptists. I've seen it from non-Baptists. And he kind of just lost his ever loving mind over the idea of pedo-baptism. Was he joking? That's the question that I asked. And let's see, can I pull it up? Let's see if I can very quickly interrupt the entire show to be able to pull up something. Probably not a great idea to do that live, Dean, but here we are. We're going to try. Here we go. It's going to work. It might work. It might not work. It will work. Too many. I post too many pictures of like what my kids draw me and stuff. Okay, let's see which one. Bam! Yeah, we did it. Oh, that's the wrong background. Oh well. You guys can see this is from the movie Dean background. All right. So I asked. You know, was Mark Dever? I want you guys to see this before we watch the video. Okay. Mark Dever was joking and being facetious about pedo-baptists. Look at how many people are like, no. Now, again, this is on my Twitter. There's bias on my Twitter of people who would think similarly to me. And you know, it's a small number. It's 129 votes. We don't have a lot of people hanging out with us on Twitter. All right. We do, but not that many. So nope, totally serious was the overwhelming response with 53%. And then all the hardcore Baptists was like, he was right. So I just want you to see that because a lot of people are seeing this as a joke, but way more people are taking this as a serious critique of pedo-Baptists and their position, specifically about church membership and the plurality of elders and all of that. But let's get into it. Enough beating around the bush. Let's hop over here. And let's see what they have to say here.
He said regenerate church membership. But that's what the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics taught.
I guess it was a fall.
But the Anabaptists for sure had that as a core cardinal component of their identity.
Yes, as the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholics did. It was the Paedo-Baptist Protestants who missed that point.
But they had a wrong view of how you got regenerated.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Regenerate.
But I just want to say this idea of a regenerate church, our Presbyterian friends will look at us sometimes like we're crazy people. And I want to say, excuse me, that's what the East and Rome always taught.
Yes.
They understood that when you were baptized as an infant, you were regenerated. So actually the crazy people in the room are you guys who are saying there is a church full of unregenerate people. Sorry. It's just, as a guy in church history, Paedo-Baptist friends, I love you. You come and preach in our pulpits. You're smarter than we are. But I do get tired of being constantly condescended to by them when they're wrong. And they just don't understand the very things they claim to very well at all. The number of times I have been told we need bishops and presbyteries in case something goes wrong in our churches to make sure that our churches will be Orthodox. Really? Really, have you looked at all the Orthodox Episcopal churches around? How about all the Orthodox PCUSA churches around? Have you bothered looking at those? Meanwhile, the Baptists who have no educational standards, but who require believer baptism to be a member of their church, we have a church here from the 1770s that's still preaching the gospel.
It's got a lot of love in the room.
If you want to protect the gospel, get rid of infant baptism. And be congregational. Make the whole congregation vote. You'll keep the gospel. End on that
note. All right, we close in prayer.
Let's sing just as I am. And my Presbyterian Wesleyan friends can come forward.
Oh!
Anything I hope else? That's not on video. I mean, is that on?
I love the awkward pause after of just like, where do we go from here? All right. So I think, all right, let me get some of my personal bias out of the way. I like Mark Dever. Like I said earlier, I've jokingly called him my spirit animal in the past. Things have changed over the last 5-6 years, but still, I really, really like Mark Dever. I appreciate his Nine Marks books. Most of them are pretty good. I got most of them just sitting on a bookshelf right over there. I wouldn't call myself a fan, but I've been deeply helped by Mark Dever, and I've watched a lot of his sermons. I've watched a lot of talks and stuff like that, and I think that there is something to this. He is actually serious about what he's saying. But he's saying it in a pretty Mark Dever, I think, facetious way. Now, as I showed you with the poll, people aren't taking it that way because they don't know. Like, they don't know him. They don't know how he's sounding. And so for them, they're just like, why is this guy ranting about this on a stage? Well, let's consider a little bit of the context. He's at the SBC convention. So he's with fam, okay? All right, let's...
What's up, fam?
He's hanging out with fam and they're all on the same page. So he's joking about, you know, all the Paedo-Baptists can come to the front, but there's none there because this is a Southern Baptist convention. So he's with his fam. He's with everyone who agrees with him. And I think he is jokingly like blowing this out of proportion. But I think there is some serious tones to this. All right. The serious part is I think he is actually saying, like, I do feel this way. I do feel condescended to by Paedo-Baptists because they talk about, you know, how what it means to be a member of the church. But according to him, they don't fully understand the idea of church membership because Paedo-Baptist view, like, that kind of gets in the way of what actually is happening in the church, at least in a physical way. It's so much clearer, all right, with a creedal Baptist position. So let me say a few things, all right, because there's, like, we don't usually go too deep, and we're not going to today either, on the ideas of, like, the inner workings of theology. But basically, when you think of baptism, we're all thinking about the water, right? we're thinking about the water and, you know, whether it's someone going in the water being baptized, so baptizo in the Greek, so fully dunked, showing my cards, obviously, I am a Baptist, but you make a profession of faith, then you get baptized into water, fully immersed, and then you get added to the church. That's the normal, the average Baptist position. And then you have paedobaptism. And paedobaptism isn't as clear-cut, all right? There's a few reasons why, because basically their theology is made from a biblical theology standpoint, meaning that there are themes in Scripture that connect together. And as they do that, you kind of fit things together later on at some places. So for them, they start back, you know, their idea of baptism doesn't start in Acts chapter 2 like it does for me and other Baptists. For the paedo-Baptists, their idea of baptism actually starts back in Genesis, starts back with the Abrahamic covenant, the idea of promise for Abraham and for his children. And focusing in on that children part. And then they'll run to Colossians chapter 2, where Paul is talking about the idea of circumcision and that there is the new circumcision or sign of the covenant being baptism. So they go, okay, because of the connection between the idea of a covenant and circumcision, that's a clear connection in Genesis, they would say. Well, that means that all of that's true here in Colossians chapter 2, meaning that if you have the sign of the covenant, then the promise also applies to your children. So that's why generally. Now, again, I'm not a paedo-Baptist, so I'm probably not going to paint like the most favorable picture of their theology. I'm tired. Like I got a little bit of that Mark Dever energy. I'm so tired of all these paedo-Baptists being like, that's not everything we believe. No crap. I'm not a paedo-Baptist, so I'm not going to like be able to come up with the same arguments and be able to articulate them the exact same way that a paedo-Baptist would. I'm saying in generalities that's what they believe. So for him, he's looking at that and saying, okay, that's your idea of baptism. What does that mean for church membership? You know, for the Baptists, we could be like, all right, we can see it. You know, someone believes in Jesus Christ. Like maybe they say a prayer at a church service. Maybe they get saved somewhere else and they come to church. They get saved. That's clear. And then they go into the water. That's pretty obvious. And then they get added to the church. And so we would say there's saved church membership. So someone has to be a Christian in order for them to belong to the church. Now they can visit, they can be a part of something. So it's not like it's closed off for church stuff for unbelievers, but the actual idea of who belongs to the church, the membership aspect, that would of course be all saved people who have been baptized. The majority of Baptists would hold that part, that they have to be baptized in order to be members. And I think that's actually clear cut from Acts chapter 2. Actually, we could take a quick look. We can take a quick look over here to Acts chapter 2. So it says, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. So there's three things there. Accepted his message. In other words, they got saved. They were baptized. And all of these baptisms were in the river, so pretty clear that it would be immersion. And then they were added to the number. So basically, get saved, get baptized, added to the church. That's what we see in Acts chapter 2, and that's what Baptists, we say, all right, there's the example for us. So that's how we do it. But paedo-Baptists, they have a problem because they're trying to figure out how all of this goes together, how the covenants go together with this idea of baptism. And if there is a promise in Genesis to the children, then there must be a promise to the children, in Colossians chapter 2. And so baptism has a promise for children. And that's why they end up baptizing their kids. But then they're left with a question, right? Like, are they part of the church? Are these kids part of the church? And there's many different perspectives on how to reconcile that. But that's what Mark Dever was talking about with the idea of regeneration and membership. Because for the Baptists, it's clear. Now, it's, you know, obviously not everyone who is a member of a church is actually a real born again Christian. There are people who fake it. There are people who fall away. All of that's true. But at the same time, it's much more clear about who actually is a Christian in a Baptist church than with a Presbyterian church, because you're looking at the kids and those who have been baptized, but then there's no belief. There's no repentance of sin. There's nothing that would make you think that this person actually believes and follows after Jesus. That happens with people. Now, some paedobaptists would say if your kid gets baptized, then it means that they will be saved. There are some who will say it is a direct thing, and then other people will say, no, it's just you being obedient to the command of Scripture of having that sign. So I say all that to say it matters. Baptism actually does matter when we're talking about church membership, because we do have practical issues, practical problems of what we're trying to do in figuring out who is actually a member in a church. So that's the backdrop, okay? So let's go back to this video and have that understanding of that paedobaptist versus Baptist idea of church membership and regeneration and how that all coincides. And let's listen to this one more time, because there's more stuff here.
Church membership.
But that's what the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics taught.
I guess it was a phone.
But the Anabaptists for sure had that as a core cardinal component of their identity.
Yes, as the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholics did. It was the paedobaptist Protestants who missed that point.
But they had a wrong view of how you got regenerated.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
I just want to say
this idea of a regenerate church, our Presbyterian friends will look at us sometimes like we're crazy people, and I want to say, excuse me, that's what the East and Rome always taught.
Yes.
They understood that when you were baptized as an infant, you were regenerated. So actually the crazy people in the room are you guys who are.
All right. I think he's going, like, again, that Mark Dever, like, biting kind of humor, which, again, speaks to my soul, because that's kind of how I am. And I'll show you some of that in a little bit. You guys just wait. All right. it's going to be fun. But I get that he's going probably too far. And especially since it's all Baptist, it kind of feels off, right? Like he feels at home, but you know, a Presbyterian watching this, it just seems like a bunch of people who disagree with you making fun of you. Right? Like, so I get how some Presbyterians would look at this and be like, I don't really get it. But what he's actually saying here is, like, if you look at church history, like the bigger people, all right, the people who have set the rules and have written the history, the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox Church, when they're talking about baptismal regeneration and how, you know, baptizing infants, how that interworks with being added to the church, like, that's an overwhelming position, is what Mark Dever is describing. That's accurate. And so for the Presbyterians who would watch this and be like, well, you can't say that's the same for us. Like, you know, that's ridiculous to put that us into that camp. What he's saying here is like, okay, but don't look at me like I'm crazy for bringing it up, because this is the majority position of those who would hold to an idea of baptizing infants. So that's what he means by that.
You're saying there is a church full of unregenerate people. Sorry. It's just, as a guy in church history, I paedobaptist friends, I love you. You come and preach in our pulpits. You're smarter than we are. But I do get tired of being constantly condescended to by them when they're wrong. And they just don't understand the very things they claim to very well at all. The number of times I have been told we need bishops and presbyteries in case something goes wrong in our churches to make sure that our churches will be Orthodox. Really? Really, have you looked at all the Orthodox Episcopal churches around?
All right, again, he's being sarcastic and he's being biting, but I do think that there's actually truth to what he's saying. Because a lot of times, I'll just say this for me. I have Presbyterian friends, all right? And they're smart. And they have, like, I articulated my general idea of their view, okay? But they have good arguments. I'm not saying that they don't, all right? They have good arguments for what they believe. But there's also this thing that happens. I get this quite a bit, you know, as someone who comes onto this channel and talks about being a Reformed Baptist quite a bit. I get people, Presbyterians and other denominations coming at me and saying, well, you're not really Reformed. You're not really Reformed because you don't believe in infant baptism, because you don't have, you know, this, you know, overseeing group of bishops that get together and they decide things. You don't have that. So you're not Reformed. And I think Mark Dever, while he's being sarcastic and biting, and maybe it wasn't the best place, especially for a video that would be sent out, and a lot of Presbyterians are watching this thing and they're coming up with different ideas about what he's meaning, I think that he's frustrated with them, because these Presbyterians, it's true. Like, you can't really argue with it. Like, these Presbyterians, like, they want to say, okay, well, you need to have, you know, this these different groups to be able to oversee churches, because otherwise, you know, you don't have people who are going to defend the faith, and you're going to lose the gospel. The problem with that is they keep on losing the gospel. it's sad, but it's true. Like, these, when they have all of these, like this, the set of hierarchy within their frameworks for church government, to where there are people who are in charge of, like, the theology of local churches that aren't the pastors of those churches, like, they say, oh, that's going to protect the gospel. Those people in those pews, they're going to get the gospel because we know it, because we know the gospel. And so we can, you know, separate truth from error and be able to give these people what they need. But the problem is that they haven't done that, and that these Presbyterian denominations have fractured several times. And it's not to say that Baptists, like, obviously Baptists, we got our issues. Okay. We got some big issues, but there is wisdom in congregationalism. All right. I see it in Acts chapter 6. Like, I've talked about this multiple times, but the idea of this office of deacon, and that it was something that the elders came up with. So they're leading in that decision, but then they put it to the congregation, the people, and say, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation. All right. So that's, they have the idea, and they go to the congregation and say, you guys decide, you guys vote and decide who is going to be fulfilling this new office. And it said also that when the apostles brought this to them, that it pleased the people. So they had a pulse on the congregation, and the congregation agreed, and they make that bigger decision of who these people are going to be. And we have the deacons then serving the church. I think that's how we're supposed to do it. And I think that there's wisdom in that, because there's accountability that's built in to the fabric of autonomous churches. Not from a hierarchy that gets to decide it for other people, but from within. Guys, I'm telling you, it's Captain America's Civil War, okay? All right, I'll break it down like this. Who's right, Captain America or Iron Man? Captain America is a Baptist and Iron Man is a Presbyterian. He's basically saying, like, you got to sign the Sokovia Accords, okay? You know, you got to submit yourself to this hierarchy in order for you to act. And Captain America is more, nope, we need to have our own hands on the wheel. We need to be able to decide our own fate, to figure things out for ourselves. That's still the best accountability. That's congregationalism. That's within the idea of making a decision from within rather than having this hierarchy. So I do think that there's wisdom in a hierarchy. I'm not saying it's without its merits, but for those Presbyterians, not the nice ones, but the prideful ones who will look down on congregationalists and say, well, you guys are going to lose the gospel. Well, look around. You know, you could point to all kinds of errors in Baptist churches, you know, all kinds of abuse that's been going on. But as far as doctrine around, like, the central idea of the gospel, Baptists have held on to that. Even the Fundies do, some of them. But that's what Mark Dever is talking about. All right, so let's just finish up the video.
Not all the Orthodox PCUSA churches around. Have you bothered looking at those? Meanwhile, the Baptists who have no educational standards, but who require believer baptism to be a member of their church, we have a church here from the 1770s that's still preaching the gospel.
It's got a point.
If you want to protect the gospel, get rid of infant baptism.
That what?
And be congregational. Make the.
All right, that I know Mark Dever is joking. I know that for a fact. I've watched enough of his stuff. I know he's kidding when he's saying that. One of his best friends is Lig Duncan, president at Reformed Theological Seminary, and they spar all the time. So, like that, he's kidding. He's kidding about that part. I think he's being pretty biting. As he's going through, and underneath all of that, he does mean it. He does mean it, but that he's putting like that exaggerated tone onto things. Here, I really believe that he's just kidding on this part of like, get rid of these things and you'll protect the gospel. Plenty of Presbyterians protect the gospel every day.
Whole congregation vote. You'll keep the gospel.
But I will also just, again, you think about it. You think about like that 70-year-old, you know, been through the ringer, been at that church for 50 years, Sunday school teacher, sweet lady. You know, is she going to lose the gospel when, you know, a guy who comes out of seminary and, you know, has just learned a whole lot, maybe at a slightly liberal seminary and comes in with all different kinds of ideas. You think like she's going to take it? Like there is something to the idea of congregationalism and having some of like these older members who, you know, they might not be qualified to be elders. They might not have, been pastors before, been missionaries or some type of full time ministry, but they're just, you know, the blue collar Christians who have just worked their butt off in these churches serving, you know, memorizing scripture, living out the gospel, you know, reaching out to their family members and friends and strangers with that gospel. They've been through it, and you give them a little bit of power. And I think that there's like real, like in a sense, equality within a congregationalist church to where everyone gets to have a say. And when you get that, it doesn't change fast. You know, it's not going to change all that quickly when a new teacher comes in, you know, and I'm sure that you could point to examples where it has, but I'm saying in general terms, I think that they're going to hold tighter to that traditional view of the gospel. And I think that there is wisdom in that, but that's just me. You know, today, I guess it's just me as a Baptist, just being able to say, you know, I'm still a Baptist. Still a Baptist. All right, let's see what you guys are saying here in the chat, and then we're going to move on to something pretty fun. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Let's start here. David's here.
Big yikes.
Oh, no. So sorry. I meant to do this one.
What's up, fam?
This is all fascinating to me. I have never understood paedobaptism. Again, like I'm a Baptist giving a description for paedobaptism. So don't take it as like, this is the end all. And this is like just summary. Go on to Jeremy Collins' channel and find out what paedobaptism is from there, from the viewpoint of a Presbyterian. That's my view in generalities. Joshua, we believe babies and children are in the covenant and the church. They are baptized and given the Lord's Supper. All right. So the distinction. Not every paedobaptist would hold that distinction, but okay. Mark Palmer, today's Reformed Baptists love to quote the Reformers, but they reject key Reformed theology. As such, the burden is on contemporary Reformed Baptists to demonstrate how thus truly Reformed. I mean, yes and no. Like everyone and their mom calls themselves Reformed. A lot of these guys who like to go to Idaho and eat potatoes, they're also saying that they're Reformed and they're not. But I get what you're saying. Those who practice paedobaptism are aligned with Calvin, and those that don't are not. I don't think it's that simple. Do you have to hold to everything that a teacher says to say, like, I really appreciate this teacher. But I hear where you're coming from. Joshua, I really like the Iron Man thing. Caleb says, I'm not sure Presbyterian Church government and credo baptism are necessarily mutually exclusive. I mean, on the baptism part, it is. But as far as church government, no. But that's where Dever jumped. Dever jumped from the idea of church membership and regeneration to, all right, now, you know, about government. He's the one who did that. But yeah, some congregational churches have been paedo-baptist, right? Some congregational churches have been paedo-baptist. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you can find examples of that. Pam says, very hot take. Reading every verse in the New Testament as prescriptive for exactly how we should do church today is the instigator of many problems. No, I don't think that's a hot take. Not everything is prescription. Some of it is just describing what they did. But, here's the thing. In Acts chapter 2, I wouldn't take that as, prescription for us. What I see from that is description of how they did it. And there's a couple things with that. One, I think that the apostles were involved in what was going on there. So I'm going to take whatever they did, even though it's just a description, I'm going to take that with a lot more like I'm just going to weigh that heavier in how I make a decision than I am, you know, just reading description of someone else doing something. You know, if the apostles are there and they're the ones making that decision, I'm thinking, we should probably stay with that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right? That's I think that there's something to that. But at the same time, you know, I'm not saying that you have to do it that way necessarily. specifically talking about like the Acts chapter 2 passage when it's describing something. But also there's wisdom in following biblical pattern, right? So if they're doing something and it works, I think we should do it, and it works. And it also helps, you know, when we get into other passages that are prescriptive, where Paul is giving theology and saying, do this. I think that if you follow that pattern specifically there in Acts chapter 2, then you're going to be able to actually do all the things that Paul says in the epistles and actually flesh out that theology, because you see that example, you follow that example. And I think, you know, when you take that prescription with the description, you can come to, all right, this is how we practice that. But that's just my take on it. Who is Pastor Dever talking about? He's just paedo-baptist and probably some prideful ones. Maybe he saw a blog post. I don't know. but Stephanie's here. Which one would have kicked out Stephen Furtick? I'm with whoever would have kicked out Furtick. I'm pretty sure Dever would be down for that one. Tax collector says, I've seen his videos on this issue, and while I respect him immensely, he doesn't really do a good job explaining why the Lutheran view of baptism isn't adding works to the gospel. That seems like a conversation you guys were having. All right, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to. Slightly Reformed says, Cap America equals Baptist, Iron Man equals Presbyterian, Thor equals Catholic. I don't know, maybe Anglican. Hulk equals fundamentalist. That's there's so much there. There's so much there. I like that one. Loki equals Moscow. All right. You know, we took a chance, and
we cannot even begin to understand how brilliant that was.
That was good. All right. You're welcome back. All right. Slightly Reformed, we appreciate you now. let's see some more interaction. Josh says, in the 10 years I've been a part of SBC churches, I've never seen their work out and have not seen the congregation actually be included in vital issues. That's too bad. Yeah. It's the idea of it works. How is actually fleshed out in a church? It really depends. Like, you know, if you have, I've seen it done well. I've seen it done well where you have elders lead and congregation votes and deacons serve and everyone gets to have a say in what happens, even though there is leadership from the elders who are qualified. But Yeah, it doesn't always happen that way. Everything works in a hypothetical world, right? Heidi says, I'm a Baptist, at least I think I am, but I think Dever put way too much stock in regenerate baptism saving the gospel. Yeah, again, I think if you gave Dever 45 minutes, he would flesh this out quite a bit more and say it a little bit differently, but I think I could agree with that. Samantha says, Pado baptism, I get it. It's Pado communion that I don't understand. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of his point, is that you're going to have to figure out some stuff. Like, you're going to have, like, how old do you, before you take communion, how old can you be? And like, it's a lot of practical stuff. And I'm sure that, Pado Baptist would come in here and be like, well, it's easy. It's this, this, and this. But, you know, as a Baptist or someone on the outside looking in, you just go like, I see a lot of, you know, technical problems, some logistics that need to be looked into. But yeah. Pam says, slightly reformed, you went and totally redeemed yourself. You know what? That's not that bad. That's not that bad, slightly reformed. I'm okay with that one. All right. Let's yeah, I get you on tax collector. I was reading the chat and realized you guys are probably talking about someone else. All right. Let's do something. Okay. So as you guys might know, I'm doing a little fundraiser right now. I've done it three times. This is the third time for the channel of doing a fundraiser. You know, I don't have a Patreon for this. I don't have things monetized here on the channel. You know, not looking to make money off of this channel other than to make it to where, you know, everything is kind of like self-sufficient, you know, that everything can take care of itself. And, you know, we're doing another fundraiser. If you don't want to give, you definitely don't have to, because we got a sponsor today. We got a sponsor today who is taking care of the promotion of, things going on with the fundraiser. And so, you know, without further ado, the sponsor this month is, have you guys heard of the Big Eva Comedy Tour? Well, it's coming to town. How's everybody doing here tonight? My name is Ken Ham. I'm known as the creation guy, mostly because I talk about creation all the time. People in my family, they tell me, you need to get a hobby. Ken, stop talking about creation. And I tell them, you know what, Susan? I've got a lot of Twitter followers from this, so maybe just back off a little bit. Well, this isn't really something that I do very often. I've never done stand-up, believe it or not. Usually I do debates. I do debates with people, with scientists. But after the last one, well, we don't do that anymore. As you can tell from my voice, I am from Australia. No, we're not going to put a shrimp on the Barbie tonight. Mostly because we really focus on the Old Testament here. And, you know, it's a big no-no. I'm known as the guy who built the Ark. People ask me, usually children, because, well, I'm really popular with children. And they'll come up to me and they'll say, Mr. Ham. And I'll be like, John Ham? Where? Where is he? They usually don't get that joke, but they'll ask me, Mr. Ham, why did you build the Ark? And I'll say, well, I was watching a YouTube video, and on the YouTubes, a guy was building an Ark, and it was really small, and he was saying, this is an Ark. And I wanted to make a big one and say, no, this is an Ark. You guys watch Crocodile Dundee? Is this thing? It's on? Okay. Okay. What's the deal with atheists, right? Atheists. They think that the world was made in millions of years? That's just silly. I can't even count to a million, can you? You can. Oh, a lot of you can. But it's pretty tricky, right? Well, I think they lost count. I think these scientists lost count because a million is a lot of numbers. Well, I once had a debate with an atheist. He was a scientist, and he believed in millions of years. You might know his name. His name was Bill Nye, the science guy, or as I like to call him, Bill Nye, the wrong guy. Right? Well, anyways, getting back to the Ark, when I built the Ark, there were a lot of people who had a lot of thoughts about how to build an Ark. You know, people online saying, you know, Mr. Ham, you need to build it this way and that way. And then we had people show up, city officials show up, and they were saying, hey, you need to build the Ark this certain way. And I told them, you know, I read the book, and Noah didn't need any city officials, so they didn't like that. And so we had them in. We had the fire marshal come in and take a look around the Ark, and he told us, you know, this thing is made of wood. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, wood burns? And I said, I don't really care about fire. You know, this is mostly about water. This is a water thing. And he said, you got to be prepared for both. And that was new to me, but he said, we need fire extinguishers pretty much everywhere. And I told him the only thing I need to extinguish fires is the shield of faith. Amen? He didn't say amen. So we got fire extinguishers pretty much everywhere in the Ark. They're all over the place, really. They're expensive. Anyways, that's my time. God created the world in 7 days. Thank you. Have a good night. Well, I just want to thank the Big Eva Comedy Tour for, you know, supporting the channel and letting everyone know about the fundraiser that we're doing right now. And I don't care what you think. I thought that was hilarious. I am a huge fan of cringy humor. And so I had way too much fun. You guys just be prepared, okay? All right. Here's what we'll do. If some of you guys don't like it, we'll do a fundraiser, and when we get to a certain amount, I'll stop putting out these videos. I won that, by the way. I've got plans for a whole bunch of them, but I just had way too much fun doing the Australian accent for a little while, so I just decided that I was going to, you know, do a full set as Ken Ham. Anyways, let's hop over to the penalty box.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
You know what? You know what? You can hit it. You can hit it. You can hit whatever you want. It's still going to be happening. You're going to watch these videos anyways. All right, Slightly Reformed. I know how it is. You know, you guys would be like, oh, I'm going to unsubscribe. I'm going to unsubscribe from your channel because you're just, oh, it's so cringy, dude. And then you guys are going to watch every stinking video I put out. You're going to watch every minute. I see my YouTube analytics, okay? I don't care. I thought it was really fun. So I'm going to do more of them. All right, let's see. Oh, okay. We're going to start off with, we got a betrayal. We have a real betrayal, okay? We got John Adams Tech getting thrown into the penalty box. All this guy cares about is movies. He's not really about theology. And some of you guys are like, well, you did bring in Civil War into the conversation about Baptists and paedo-baptists. So, hey, you know what? John Adams Tech, welcome to the penalty box. Next up.
2 minute minor trip. And there's a call.
Okay, we got an actual one. So this is from the Why I Don't Watch The Chosen, which I also thought about making that into a sponsor for the fundraiser. Me just reading all the mean tweets. Like some of them that I've shown you guys, some of them that I've not. Just reading all of them. But Why I Don't Watch The Chosen, here's what Nick Vass 2362 said. Yeah, go and watch a Marvel movie, mate. More your style. You know what? It's true. I would much rather watch a Marvel movie than The Chosen. Like, even if I was going to entertain the idea and, like, actually watch it, which I did for a little bit, of course I would much rather watch the Marvel movie. It's like, I mean, until the last phase, they were all pretty dang good. Even Iron Man 2. I kind of like Iron Man 2. Anyways, yeah, you're pretty much right. Let's see. Next up.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
No excuse. So this is on Oneness Theology is not Christian. Cornelio says, look at yourself in the mirror. I do most days. Might not seem like it, but I do. Look at yourself in the mirror and don't judge other Christians according to their beliefs. What? How else am I supposed to judge them? Like, what? Like, okay. You want to be like, all right, don't judge a book by the cover. It's like, okay, maybe some wisdom to that. But don't judge a Christian by what they believe. What? What am I supposed to do with that? According to their beliefs, because you don't know. And only God, if you ever go to eternity, I'm beginning to think there's some issues here. And only God, if you go to eternity, remember your Orthodox beliefs, the Trinity, started 300 AD. Not true. Jesus did. It's a man-made doctrine. Okay, so we got a Oneness Theology guy coming in to defend his crew by saying, hey, theology doesn't matter. Not a strong argument. Not a strong argument. Welcome to the penalty box. Last up. Okay. I got to be real honest. Sometimes, like, I have a lot of fun with the penalty box. And, a lot of the comments that come in, I just laugh at. This one ticked me off. Like, legit made me angry. Okay. Here's the thing. I do have another channel where I talk about movies. I've talked about it quite a bit over the last month or so. I'm really trying on that channel. I'm really trying. Like here, I want to have community. I want to have community and, just have fun with you guys and do dumb jokes about Ken Ham and Fire Marshal coming in to inspect the Ark. Okay, like that's what this channel is. We have fun. We kind of just hang out together. And I feel really icky if I were to use like marketing methods to try to grow this channel. I know what would grow this channel. Okay. I could talk about Mike Todd. I can make a 45-minute video that I call a documentary about Mike Todd or some other false teacher. And that's popular. And you know, I could get an audience, but that audience would annoy me. Okay. Like the vast majority. I came here to have good community. And so if you want to belong to that community, awesome. But also you have a responsibility in this community to treat others with respect and to not be a weirdo. Okay. If you are, I'll boot you. I'll boot you real hard. Okay. You're just getting kicked out. If you come over to my movie channel and try to do the same stuff and you get super weird and start saying all kinds of like outlandish stuff, I not only will I boot you from the movie channel, I'll boot you from this one too. So we had someone do that and just ticked me off. So Biblical Theology in 30, which is 30 seconds, they decided to come over to my movie channel and talk about, like, I had a video where I talked about Greta Gerwig, who's an amazing director, being chosen by Netflix to put out the Chronicles of Narnia movies. And that's good news. I love Narnia. I'm a big fan of C.S. Lewis. He's right. He's right there, guys. He's just watching over there. But I'm a big fan of Narnia and everything. I've read those books so many times with my kids. I have a kid whose name is after C.S. Lewis, okay? I know it like the back of my own hand, and Greta Gerwig is a great director, so I said, I'm happy with this. And to have people come over from this community, who are probably on the outskirts, not anyone hanging out in the chat, okay, but who are on the outskirts of this community, come over there and just be weird, I don't appreciate it. So this is, he left several, I'm assuming it's a he. He left several of these. This may be true, but it appears from a limited perspective that you may be veering towards liberalism because I said Greta Gerwig, who has been an Oscar nominated director, you know, being picked for Narnia, that makes me trending towards liberalism. Or or a far more left-leaning cultural view that could at some point affect your theological beliefs. Wow, thank you so much for pointing this out to me. I disagree with theonomy, Christian nationalism, I doubt it, and much of what MacArthur teaches, but it seems like you focus a lot of attention on them and are much more light on actual liberal theologians. Because there's a thousand other channels like that, guy. You want to go and rant about, you know, I don't know, fill in the blank, Stephen Furtick. You want to talk about Stephen Furtick? You could find 10,000 YouTube channels that do that. That's not interesting to me. I talk about people in my own camp because that stuff I feel actually matters. I don't care what Stephen Furtick has to say. Now, if he says something ridiculous, then, you know, maybe we will talk about it. I'm not above it. I'm just saying, like, everything that's out there, I'm not going to be able to come up with a unique take on it. But you probably don't care about that. You just want to get the same stuff that you get all the time. Then seeing this new movie by an unbeliever as some type of triumph. So in order to make a good Narnia movie, you have to be a Christian? That's ridiculous. As some type of a triumph continues to lead me to that conclusion. Well, I'm glad you've been led. I'm curious to see where you will be theologically in a few years. Graduate school can't save you from that. I doubt the praying. I really doubt it. All right. I don't appreciate being condescended to on you know, replies and stuff like that. And if you have a channel, I can guarantee you if you condescend to me, I will call you out on it. I don't appreciate it. I do not appreciate it. And don't come over to my movie channel and try to be like, you need to have, you know, like, oh, you want me to talk about Jonathan Edwards on my movie channel? What is this? All right. You got a real penalty box today. Like, sometimes we're just joking, and a lot of times it's fun to just, like, kind of tease and rib back and forth. But that's just annoying. So biblical theology in 30 seconds. Bye. You're not welcome on this channel anymore. No beef, because I don't know who you are. I've never watched a video of yours. I'm just saying, like, you come over to that channel and start talking about this channel and being weird about it. Yeah, you're going to get banned. You're going to get banned from both of them. Wasn't this fun, guys? This was a bad idea. This was a bad idea to end it on this note. You know what? Maybe should we do it again? If I hit this button, Slightly Reformed is going to lose it. And I kind of want to see it. How's everybody doing here tonight? My name is Ken Ham. I'm known as the Creation Guy, mostly because I talk about creation just enough. I just want to get in just enough for him to be like, wait, no, not again. All right, that's the show today, guys. I appreciate everyone hanging out with me. If you want to donate to the fundraiser, you know, hop into the description. If you want to, like, all it's going to do is help with the channel. That's what it does. It just helps with the channel to be able to afford new equipment. We've done it a couple times. You guys have been awesome. And if you guys don't want to be as awesome, that's fine. It's fine. But we're working on maybe trying to get a new camera and trying to, you know, fix up a few things. So let me know if you want to do that by hopping down to the description and clicking the link there for my PayPal. Got some more stuff lined up for the week. Hope that you enjoyed the new intro, and you know, it's going to just be more. It's going to be more. Okay. I'm going to make so many videos of Ken Ham being a comedian. To me, that's the funniest thing in the world. Just failing as a stand-up comic. Just the cringe is perfection to me. Anyways, I'll see you in the next one. Bye.